The court's ruling is reverberating far beyond the country's borders. CBS's Ian Lee is in our London bureau with the international reaction. Ian.
Adriana, the court's ruling made the front pages despite the UK's own current political turmoil, underscoring the significance of the decision.
When the Supreme Court struck down Roe versus Wade, the whole world was watching and reacted. In Paris, several dozen protesters took to the streets in solidarity. French President Emmanuel Macron tweeted, "Abortion is a fundamental right for all women. It must be protected." Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau also took to social media saying, "The news coming out of the United States is horrific. No government, politician, or man should tell a woman what she can and cannot do with her body." British Prime Minister Boris Johnson also condemned the decision.
Clearly, it has massive impacts on people's thinking around the world. It's a very important decision. I've got to tell you, I think it's a big step backwards.
The overturning of Roe comes as many countries have eased restrictions on abortions in recent years, including overwhelmingly Catholic Ireland, Mexico, and Colombia. But the Vatican praised yesterday's decision, saying, "By choosing life, our responsibility for the future of humanity is at stake."
According to the Center for Reproductive Rights, the United States now joins just two other countries who have restricted abortion in the 21st century. Compare that to roughly 50 countries over the past decades who've made getting an abortion easier for women. Adriana.
Ian Lee, thanks.
Welcome to Let's Do It Radio segment of Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. Choices. Roe versus Wade. Who's right and who's wrong? So call in to voice your opinion at 845-241-9985. Again, that number is 845-241-9985. Today is Tuesday, June 28, 2022. I am Miss Inez, your hostess of the evening of Miss Inez Says. Let's Talk About It, and CEO and fashion designer of Anaisaku Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. Worldwide listeners, call in to join the conversation and the show at 845-241-9985 with your opinion on choices, who's right and who's wrong on Roe versus Wade. Again, at 845-241-9985, or you can even join me in the chat room. And if you like what's being done, donate to Let's Keep Do It Radio on the Air at Cash App at $ANAISEVALCOUR, or Venmo at the @MizMZ-Inez, or Zell. Choices, Roe versus Wade. Who's right and who's wrong? I already know it's going to be a heated discussion. And I would like to hear from the worldwide listening audience's opinion.
Court is now in session.
We're going to hear a clip. First off, that Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, and the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell delivers the latest news and original reporting and goes beyond the headlines with context and depth.
Thank you for joining us on this Friday night on a day that changed America. We're outside the Supreme Court after the landmark decision that overturned Roe versus Wade and ended a woman's constitutional right to an abortion. As you can see behind me, demonstrators both for and against the court's decision were quick to react here in Washington and across the country. More than 100 cities have already seen protests or plan to over the weekend. Also reacting, some of the nation's largest companies announcing they will cover employee travel expenses for abortions if they are not available where they live. Some of those companies include Nike, Uber, Alaska Airlines, Citigroup, Condé Nast, Disney, JP Morgan, Microsoft, Warner Brothers, and CBS's parent company, Paramount Global. And we also heard from presidents past and present. President Obama called the ruling devastating. Michelle Obama called it horrifying. And President Donald Trump said this gives the rights back to the states as it should have been long ago. We have a team of correspondents across the country tonight covering every angle of this story. We'll start tonight with our chief legal correspondent, CBS's Jan Crawford. Jan, this has been quite a remarkable day.
Well, Nora, I mean, Roe versus Wade is one of the few decisions most Americans know by name. And today, the Supreme Court said it's history.
When the crowd heard the court had overturned Roe versus Wade, there were cheers.
It took every single one of us, people across the political and ideological spectrum, to make this a reality.
A reality that for abortion rights supporters was hard to believe.
This is a nightmare.
I'm 21 and I'm terrified.
In the 5-4 vote, the justices overturned the landmark 1973 ruling that guaranteed a woman's right to abortion, sending the issue back to the states to set their own policies. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. Its reasoning was exceptionally weak, and the decision has had damaging consequences, wrote Justice Samuel Alito in a decision joined by 4 other conservatives. It is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. 26 states had asked the court to overturn Roe. 13 already have laws on the books that would ban abortion almost immediately. The others are poised to ban or greatly restrict it.
Today, the Supreme Court of the United States expressly took away a constitutional right from the American people.
President Biden blasted the decision.
It's a sad day for the court and for the country.
On Capitol Hill, Democratic lawmakers marched to the court while Republicans said the ruling was overdue.
Alleluia. I woke up this morning praying for this. And I never thought that it would happen.
Good evening. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortions.
It took almost 50 years of annual marches for life, political muscle, and justices with a strong conservative legal ideology. Chief Justice John Roberts voted to uphold the 15-week Mississippi abortion ban, but refused to join the majority decision to overturn Roe or a subsequent 1992 opinion. With the court's newest justices, all nominated by former President Trump, there were 5 votes without him. Republican Susan Collins and Democrat Joe Manchin, who voted for Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, said they were duped, with Collins releasing a statement that they were both insistent on the importance of supporting long-standing precedents. But also a factor, the 2020 death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a champion of reproductive rights, gave Trump his 3rd nominee, who provided the key 5th vote. The 3 remaining liberals joined in a fiery dissent. Whatever the exact scope of the coming laws, one result of today's decision is certain, the curtailment of women's rights and of their status as free and equal citizens.
And Jan is with me here with more. So Justice Clarence Thomas wrote a separate opinion as well. It has some wondering, is same-sex marriage, is contraception next?
Well, I mean, that's right, because those are grounded in some of the same rights. But the court, in the majority opinion, said no. How could we be any more clear? This case is different. Abortion is different because it involves a human life. Those cases, the right to contraceptive, the right to same-sex marriage, are not being cast in doubt or threatened by this ruling, the court said. But Justice Thomas wrote that separate opinion saying he thought they could be on the table. But that's one justice. It takes 5.
But what if the states move on same-sex marriage or to block contraception?
Well, then that would be challenged. It would come right back to the Supreme Court, and you'd probably have 8 justices then. Thomas might be here saying, get out of here.
All right. Jan Crawford, thank you.
And then we also have another clip breaking down what overturning Roe versus Wade means. And as you heard, Nora O'Donnell was talking to Jan Crawford, and she breaks down what overturning Roe versus Wade means and which states would restrict or protect abortion rights.
CBS News Chief Legal Correspondent Jan Crawford, she is in our Washington Bureau. Jan, good morning to you as we get your thoughts here one day later. The Supreme Court seems to be saying basically here we're done talking about abortion. Is that actually the case? Is there reason to believe this is the final word on the federal level?
Yeah, I mean, on the core right to an abortion, absolutely. I mean, the opinion really couldn't be more clear. I mean, this court believes, like a fair number of legal scholars, that Roe versus Wade was basically just made up. It was wrong from the beginning. There's nothing in the Constitution about a right to abortion. And coming in 1973, when a lot of states were starting to liberalize their laws and allow abortion, the court jumped in, short-circuited the political process, and said abortion was legal nationwide. The court says that just inflamed the debate. It's time to return the issue on a right to abortion back to the people's elected representatives in the individual states. What does that mean? I mean, that means that if you want to ban abortion in Mississippi or all those other states that Christina just mentioned that already are, that's fine. There is no constitutional right women have, so the court is, there's no role for the Supreme Court to rule on it. There are other issues that the court could take up that are related to abortion access, and I think you are going to see some of those legal challenges play out, like whether states can ban access to abortion pills or whether states can prosecute people for going across state lines to get an abortion. I think you could see some of those in the court, but not on whether or not states can ban or greatly restrict it. That's done.
Jan, Christina Ruffini seemed to suggest, or actually Clarence Thomas did, in fact, go even further than that, suggesting that things like contraception and gay rights might also be impacted later down the line. What are the chances of that actually happening?
I'd say zero. I mean, this court, even in the opinion, said it's hard to say how we could be more clear that those cases are not threatened or cast in doubt. You know, Justice Thomas then wrote that separate opinion where he says, well, I think they, you know, might be, but no one agreed with him. So he's out there on a trip of his own. He's one justice. You had, you know, the other four were like, we don't agree, you know, we're not on board with that. Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote a separate opinion himself saying no, no. And so, you know, if states do try to limit access to contraception or limit, you know, gay marriage, that will go back into the courts, and that issue could come back to the Supreme Court. And there's probably eight justices, setting Thomas aside, that would say those cases, like we said in Dobbs, are not implicated.
Jan, a lot of the polling out there showed that the court is more conservative than Americans even are, specifically when it comes to Roe versus Wade and other issues. Might we now see more calls to reform the court after this decision?
Possibly, and I think that's partly what was driving the Chief Justice's concurring opinion. He worries about things like that as the Chief Justice. As you know, he would have upheld Mississippi's 15-week ban, but he didn't think the court needed to take the next step and overturn Roe versus Wade and a 1992 subsequent case on abortion rights. So he wouldn't join those five in overturning Roe. And I know he has been quite concerned that you may see calls to add more justices to the Supreme Court or try to change the makeup of the Supreme Court. I think that was partly what was driving him, kind of the institutional, his belief that this could hurt his institutional integrity. But I think that's going to be a really hard, you know, tough row to hoe in Congress right now. There's not support right now to change the numbers of justices.
All right, Jan, we'll have to leave it there. A lot more debate on this subject.
It's a lot to take in and a lot to discuss, but let's get started. And you can remain anonymous, but call in if you've had an abortion, your reasoning, and if you feel you have the right for making up your mind for what goes on with your body. Men, you get the opportunity as well to voice your opinion on the debate if you are speaking for the woman or for the voiceless, which I'm talking about the unborn. But first off, we know in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, it's talks about Exodus 20:13, thou shall not kill. And in the New Testament, Matthew 5:21, it reads, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, talking about the Old Testament, thou shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. We do have a caller with the last four of 3145. If you'd like to chime in on this evening's topic, choices, Roe versus Wade. You could say your name if you want to or remain anonymous. Last four, 3145.
Hi, this is Aaron from Atlanta.
Hey. Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good, good.
Well, the thing that I've we've all been waiting for this for what, past 30 years, they've been battling to overturn this. But as I was telling my daughter, as far as Roe versus Wade, as far as choices, I think women, because I'm a man, so I'm not going to jump too deep into it other than, like, I told my daughters, I have five of them, and I expressed to my daughters.
What are their ages? What are their ages?
Oh, my daughter's ages is 40, 37, 32, 28, and 19.
Okay, so they're childbearing ages. Okay.
Yeah. And there's actually to them. Now, sometimes there's choices before the choice. As I told my 19-year-old, now you have to really think. You know, like when you first meet a person, you have the choice whether you're going to let him call you. Second, you have a choice whether or not you're going to get to know him. Third, you have a choice on whether or not you're going to have, you know, if you have unprotected sex. What are the situations that come behind that? Now, I don't know as far as, like I say, I'm not a woman, but like I told her, and she said, well, they'll take away our choices. I'm saying, and you're right, but before that situation comes up, you have a choice whether or not to lay down unprotected with this individual, whether or not you want to be tied in on a relationship or situation connected to this individual you just met that you may or may not feel that you could be with for the next 10 years, whatever, as far as having a baby with them, because you don't have to be together to share parenting. But the simple fact is you have choices before that last choice was taken away from you. And you just have to think about it a little bit more thorough, whether or not, you know, you want to be with someone or whether or not you want to lay down with someone or whether or not you want to put yourself in a position where you have to, you know, get an abortion. You know what I mean?
So I just
try to explain to her from a male point. Think about the choices that you have to make before you have to get into that Roe v. Wade choice. That's all.
Right. Okay. You know. And so you've already talked. Well, not you've already, but you want to explain to your daughters. You know, you do have choices. I mean, be it right or be it wrong. And the topic is. Choices Roe versus Wade, who's right and who's wrong. You know, I mean, I don't have a choice over my body anymore. I feel like I'm a robot. Okay, you sit down over here. You get to stand up. You get to go to the ladies' room. You have to, you know, can only be in there for a few minutes. But it's like that's what it seems like it's coming to. Like, you know, somebody else is taking over my mind and taking over my body. And it's like, this is my body. You didn't bear me. You know, my mama bared me, so give me my rights and give me what I want to do with whatever happens to me as far as choices are. And we do have another call with the last four, 7616. Would you like to, you could either remain anonymous or tell us where you're calling from and who you are and your opinion of what we've been talking about thus far. The last four, 7616.
No, this is Karen. I just want to listen for a while before I give my opinion.
Okay. Not a problem. Thank you so much, Karen, for joining us. And, Aaron, were you finished talking?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Because I also found this information on the World Wide Web, on the Internet, and this is from a man. His name is Michael Taylor, and it was put out like 2 days ago. And this is quite interesting from a man's perspective and his point of view. It says, I am pro-Becky, who found out at her 20-week anatomy scan that the infant she was so excited to bring into the world had developed without life-sustaining organs. I am pro-Susan, who was sexually assaulted on her way home from work, only to come to the horrific realization that her assailant planted his seed in her when she got a positive pregnancy test result a month later. I am pro-Teresa, who hemorrhaged during a placental abruption, causing her parents, spouse, and children to make the impossible decision whether to save her or her unborn child. I am pro Kathy, who had her innocence ripped away from her by someone she should have been able to trust, and her 11-year-old body isn't mature enough to bear the consequences of that betrayal. I am pro Melissa, who's working two jobs just to make ends meet, who has to choose between bringing another child into poverty or feeding the children she already has because her spouse walked out on her. I am pro-Brittany, who realizes that she is in no way financially, emotionally, or physically able to raise a child. I am pro-Emily, who went through IVF, ending up with six viable implanted eggs requiring selective reduction in order to ensure the safety of her and a safe amount of fetuses. I am pro-Christina, who doesn't want to be a mother, but birth control methods seem sometimes to fail. I am pro-Jessica, who is finally getting the strength to get away from her physically abusive spouse, only to find out that she is carrying the monster's child. I am pro-Vanessa, who went into her confirmation appointment after years of trying to conceive, only to hear silence where there should be a heartbeat. I am pro-Lindsay, who lost her virginity in her sophomore year with a broken condom and now has to choose whether to be a teenage mom or just a teenager. I am pro-Courtney, who just found out she's already 13 weeks along, but the egg never made it out of the fallopian tube, so either she terminates the pregnancy or risks dying from internal bleeding. You can argue and say that I'm pro-choice all you want, but the truth is I'm pro-life. Their lives, women's lives. You don't get to pick and choose which scenarios should be accepted. Women's rights are meant to protect all women, regardless of their situation. Do any of you have any comments on that? First, we'll go to Karen. Do you have any comments on what I read from Michael Tyler?
I'm just listening, and I just have a problem with a young girl who may have been brutally raped, as you indicated, and the child to have to carry a baby around and may not want it because they don't want to be reminded of what happened to them. So do they not have a choice to decide if they want to keep a child or destroy it? I just don't feel like anyone has the right to make that choice for that individual except for themselves.
Right. No one can make that choice for you. I mean, she could have the choice to carry it and then give it up for adoption, or she could have the choice to term it, you know, to term it. But then that child's going to be in the world looking for her. Why didn't you love me? Why didn't you keep me? Why? And then that's another thing that's, you know, then we have all this other abuse, this mental abuse and mental strain and mental health that a woman has to go through after she makes the decision, whether it's her choice or somebody else's choice. That is a hard thing to think about and to even, I'll say, fathom. So it is. I mean, as all these choices that Michael Taylor went through, very good choices, and that's from a man's perspective. So can you imagine what a woman's thinking and what she has to go through, you know, and so on and so forth. So we're going to go back to Aaron. Do you have anything you'd like to say on what Michael Taylor had to said about being pro the person?
Well, like I said, coming from a man's point of view, and I like all the scenarios he's thrown up here, I think that hopefully they'll come to each state will grab hold and come to an understanding of where to draw the line at and where to let the line be crossed as far as that's concerned. My mother told me a long time ago, because we had a family of all boys, that when a woman makes a decision, and she told me this in, the 80s, when a woman makes a decision whether or not to carry the baby, that's not for you to say. It's for her to make the decision, because she's about to deal with it one way or the other. So I pretty much rode that line all my life. As far as, you know, that's a woman's choice. If she has a choice when it gets down to the Roe v. Wade thing. And does it have to be extremes? You know, does it always have to do, who to say who, when her rights should be taken away from her, whether it was brutally raped or not brutally raped. I mean, because, like, we're jumping on this, but yet in the Bible also it says about certain ways of life that is not looked upon. And I think that's what the Republicans are trying to run after, the conservative, because the certain communities are getting stronger. They're they want to be more conservative and take and be in more control of whether or not this population is going to flow, because, you know, two men can't make a baby, two women can't make a baby. So I think that's why they're trying to stop the abortions. And I'm just be talking for what I've been reading, because they feel that the population is shrinking. As far as in America, it's shrinking. I ain't saying who's shrinking, who's not. I'm not going to go there ethnicity-wise, but I think that the numbers aren't catching. The majority number is decreasing, and I think they're trying to stop that more so than anything else. The power to be is losing numbers, and when you lose numbers, you lose popularity, lose power. And I think that's totally what this is about.
I was speaking to a friend earlier. It's because a lot of the quote unquote population, excuse me, I'm going to say the white population, is not producing like they used to. I mean, a black woman could have child, you know, sit down, get up, have a child, sit down, get up, and have a child, you know, no problem. Things like, you know, we are very fertile myrtles. But then we have this now upon us. It's like we are enslaved. Woman has become enslaved again. It's like everything's taken away from us. Like, this is, you know, next thing you're going to do, are you going to have arranged marriage for me? Which in some countries, yes, you do. But in America, no, you don't. And so is that what we're going to be going to? Are we going to have arranged children for us? Okay, you can only have children, you know, between this period and that's it. So on and so forth. But I see a person out here with their hand raised with the last four of 4,600. I'm going to bring them on the line. And would you let us know who you are? You can remain anonymous if you want to, or give us a
My name is Bianchi. How
are
you doing?
Oh, fine. How are you? I thought that was good.
You know, they're arguing about diminishing population. And the data from the CDC and Guttmacher say 30 years after the Roe decision, which would have been about 2002 or 2005, black women had aborted over 20 million babies. 20 million.
I heard 35.
You know what that looks like?
35.
Well, you know what that looks like? If you were to take, starting at Texas, coming around all the way to the east, to South Carolina, go up the eastern seaboard to New York, come into Illinois, Missouri, 15 states. If you took out all the blacks in 15 states, woke up tomorrow, nobody black there. That's what that looks like. 20 million.
That's
here's the point.
That's a lot.
The court ain't never said that you couldn't have abortions. That goes back to the countries. The 50 countries of this union, which we have come to be called states. They are countries. They have their own constitution, and they have their own legislative body.
Correct.
And the courts made a mistake, because the Roe decision was about the privacy between a doctor and his patient, and it developed into what it is. And there was two other that, you know, Mr. Thomas made mention of, and that's same-sex marriage and interracial marriage. There's no legal basis in the Constitution where the courts supposed to get involved in that. That's state concern.
Right.
But you know the funny thing about this, and let you hear it so you can go. Your Democratic darling, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in an article, it was published in the New York Times, And it was a discussion she had around the place of the women in court. And then it went on into the Hyde Amendment. And this is what she wrote. This is what she said in that interview. She said, yes, the rule about that surprised me. She's talking about Harris versus McRae. In 1980, the court upheld the Hyde Amendment, which forbids the use of Medicaid for abortion. But then she goes on to say this, black folks. She said, frankly, I had thought that at the time Roe was decided, there was concern about population growth, and particularly growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of. End of quote. That's what your Democratic darling Supreme Court justice said. And also in the ruling with Obergefell about same-sex marriage, her and Justice Kagan should have recused themselves because they had officiated same-sex marriage. They shouldn't have even been on the, been involved in that vote. They're, in fact, live where you are.
There you go. And does everybody know even what it means, Roe versus Wade, as Mr. Priyanshi was saying?
It was about the privacy between a patient and their doctor. People don't read. They just go about the news. And you know some of the most ratchetest and demonic entities today is these news services. They are just that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are you going to stay with us?
I'll stick around and listen.
All right, thank you. And what it is Roe versus Wade, 1973, was a landmark decision of the U.S. Supreme Court in which the court ruled that the Constitution of the United States generally protects a pregnant woman's liberty to choose to have an abortion. It's her right. Okay, and that's Jane Roe versus Henry Wade, who was a district attorney of Dallas County. And so the courts was in case of, the courts put the difference between two arguments presented. First, the court recognized that abortion does fall under privacy rights. The constitutional right to privacy comes from the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. The Due Process Clause, let me read this, let me get this here. Let me see here. Where am I? No, I can't find my place, of course. The United States, the fundamental privacy right that protects a person's right to choose whether to have an abortion. But the abortion right is not absolute. It must be balanced against the government's interest in protecting the health and prenatal life. So, who gets to speak for the voiceless?
You know that's a good point. You know? Is that baby not is that child in the womb? Is she not a baby? Is it not a person?
Right.
What you think?
I mean, and at what point? I mean, as soon as the egg the
as soon as the heartbeat detected.
Yeah, you know that's
it's a person.
Life. I mean, you
know why?
Have,
You know why? And people want to say, well, it ain't no life until it's born. No. Well, if that's the case, if I was to shoot a pregnant woman and the baby dies, I'm charged with a double homicide.
Double murder. Exactly. And the child's not born. You know, the child is not born as of yet, but still. You know,
in that particular state, I'm charged with a double homicide. Federal government has nothing to do with it until it comes out of the lower courts and go into a federal court.
I thought you were going to say something else, but okay.
Well, yeah.
You said it comes out of like...
And see, courts cannot make laws. Courts can't make laws. Courts can only give an opinion between the argument of two parties. That's all they can do. Supreme Court can't make no law. Oh, was I here last week?
We were doing the Joe versus Joe. We're the Joe versus Joe. Montana Joe and North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Anyway,
and so
I wish people would understand, you know, these things and read the Constitution. And when you read the Constitution, read the Anti-Federalist Papers and the Federalist Papers, and also the Articles of Confederation. Then you get an idea of what was being thought about back there in that time. But like I said before, back in 1849, the state of Wisconsin forbidded abortion. In 1849. In 1868, Omaha, Nebraska forbidded segregated schools. Not 1954, 1868.
Almost 100 years prior. Almost 100 years prior. Wow. Aaron, you have anything to say? Aaron, you still with me? That's probably on mute. Karen, you have anything to say?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, I mean, it's... Basically, we're going back to the slave times again, where, well, black people, have, you know, were property, so we didn't have a right to do anything because we were property, and that's what it seems like it's going back to, being enslaved, not having, you know, not being able to voice your opinion. You know, you just stand there, get shot down. It's like, no, you can't have an abortion. Sorry, too bad, so sad. No. So, Aaron, are you back with us? Okay.
You know, you made mention about slaves being property. You know where that came from. Do you have an idea where that came from? Came from Africa.
Well,
if you a female, if you marry an African today, you are his property in those tribes
over
there. You not and your child,
property, but his. And
you are his property.
Whatever you want to do. Is that not correct?
Well, now wait a minute. Now see, here's the thing. The consequences is that for him to marry you, he would have had to go to the brothers, not directly to the father. Then the they would have introduced you to the father. Then it was a process. But if you are harmed by him, they have to. He has to answer to those brothers, the father and the uncles. When my daughter started dating, when my daughter dated a person, I sat him down and I told him this. And out of all the things I told him, this should have stuck in his head. You do something to my don't do nothing to my daughter you wouldn't want me doing to you.
Right. I've heard
in the
that
conversation.
That's it. He looks at you like, oh, yes, Mr. Fiancé. Yes, Mr. Fiancé. And I mean,
well,
my brother is
this is Karen. Or my father used to say, if you got a mistreater, bring her back where you got her from. That's what my father used to tell me.
I like that.
Those
I like
that. Words. Those are powerful words.
Yes, yes. That, okay. And see, people don't, how do I want to say it? People try to take over somebody else's lives. Why is that? If you want to do something to yourself, do it to yourself, but don't do it to me. You know, just like all these, you know, not snipers, but mass murders and so on and so forth. Why are you going out and harming other people? If you don't like yourself, do away with yourself. You know, but first talk to somebody first off. That would be the best thing to do, to see where your
mental
state is.
Well, you know, the question there, the question there is, why do people not have themselves in a position where they can't do that? Because if you walk in a grocery store and you look around, everybody got a gun on their hip, you're going to turn around and go out.
True.
Exactly.
That's true. It's like, okay, I can't do nothing here because I'm going to get taken out. So you go into innocence and take away more innocence is what happens. Because those children, they don't have guns. Those children, you know, they're there to learn.
Yeah, those children were innocent.
You know,
you're supposed to
very innocent.
Kill your grandmother, and like you're boasting about it. and then you make another statement and say that you're going to go to a school. I mean, to me, that was premeditated.
Very much.
Well,
so.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So. But he should have been stopped when he started the gunfight with those men coming out the funeral home who didn't have no weapons.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sorry, but one of the rules of nature is self-defense.
Well, that's right.
And
yeah,
you were born with all the rights.
Yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you a human being was born with all the rights that the universe offered. You could dance, walk down the street naked, drink palm wine, everything. But how did you lose those rights? Government passed laws.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you let them do it.
You gave them the right to do so. You gave them the right to do so.
Yeah, but you all know for a fact that if that was a black man that went into school and killed those kids, they would have killed him on the spot. He wouldn't even made it that far into the classroom that long.
Johnny on the spot.
Well, you had black men do that before. You had a black man going to church in all-white church in Nashville, Emmanuel Sampson, and he said he was going there to kill 10 whites. But lived to stand for trial. He got about 200 years. But, you've had black men do that stuff before. What you talking about is human beings. Let's get this straight. We're talking about human beings.
Right. Correct.
No matter, evil don't know no respect for. Yeah, evil don't know any respect for skin color.
They sure don't. They say, okay.
Go to Nigeria.
Right.
Go to Nigeria and the war they had there between the Yoruba and the Igbo. And they got a war going on right now between the Fulani. Up in the northern area in Boko Haram. They are raiding villages, taking mamas that's pregnant. They split her stomach, the baby fall out, and they stomp it. Right as we speak.
That's
human beings.
That's
human beings. And they all look, hey, wait a minute, they all the same color.
Exactly. But... And that just, it's always bothered me every time I watch these movies from Africa where we see this. I know it's called black on black crimes, but it's like, for what reason are they doing this?
Because they have their differences that has always existed. Look at the people in Peru, the Inca today, and you know, you talk about blacks had hard times. Look at how them kids go to school. There's some videos on YouTube called The Most Dangerous Ways to School. It talks about several ethnic groups from Philippines, Ethiopians, Kenyans, Bolivians, Nicaraguans. Look how them kids have to go through to get to school. Little girls, 3, 4, 5 years old in a boat navigating a raging river to get to the other side so they can go to school. Ain't no black kids in the United States have to have to do that. So people struggle.
The struggle is real. It was so funny that you say that because I saw this woman. She had a sign as I'm on my way home. She said, the struggle is real. I said, it sure is. It's real.
Yeah.
I mean, every day we're hustling, we're fighting, we're trying to get to the next day. We're trying to figure out how we're going to live. We're just trying to figure out life. And now that this has come upon us, it's another thing that, you know, people have to think about and worry about, and mental health issues are going to raise because a woman has to worry about, do I abort or do I keep? Plain and simple. You know, I was raped, do I abort or do I keep? You know, incest, do I abort or do I keep?
I told you last week, I think, that that ain't what they consider in some of them tribes, because what they do, they look at that baby as somebody who has left is coming back once again.
Oh.
That's why come that baby, a male child, is put with the grandfather. The grandfather is the larger volume of knowledge. Not the daddy, not the father, it's the grandfather.
Right.
So,
right. Okay.
A grandfather is in this ceremony in that one area in northern Ghana, right there at the Burkina Faso border, where the pregnant mother and a priest and a grandmother or grandfather is there at that ceremony. And that mother goes
okay.
into a trance, and the baby starts talking through her mouth.
Wow.
That baby tell them who they are, why they coming back, and what they want to have prepared when they are born. When that child is born, 6 o'clock in the morning, he's passed through the whole village. He may not come back to the mama till sometime that evening. And people look
wow.
at that child and, you know, get close
uh-huh.
to it and see what that child has to say. Because the child is coming from where the grandparents are about ready to go back to. And he may be carrying a message.
Mm. Wow, that's deep now. That's some deep stuff right there. That is deep. Mm. We have our friend Montana Joe on the line who has joined us. How are you, Joe?
Hello, Inez. How are you?
How are you? I'm good. Thanking yourself.
Not bad. Hello, Bianchi.
I want y'all to know Joe's a real good person, too. So if he acts strange sometimes, don't pay no attention.
I don't.
Yeah, don't pay attention to me. Don't
no,
worry
but
about me.
But you know what our topic is about today, right, Joe?
I saw your page about Roe versus Wade, so I came on in to find out, you know, who's for it, who's not for it. I personally am for abortion. Huh?
Go ahead.
I'm for abortion, but not for the same reason 99% of the people on the planet are for abortion. But it's not because, you know, this is my body, my choice. I don't believe in that. If that was the case, then I can say the sperm inside my my body, it belongs to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets ejected, just like when the baby gets ejected from the womb and the sperm gets ejected from me, it doesn't matter what happens. And that's just the way it is. But no, we all have to take responsibility for our actions that affect other people. And the fact that the baby is part of another person's body doesn't make it her body, okay? Because I cannot, with my sperm, just impregnate everybody if I'm married, simply because I can say, well, you know what? It's me, my body. I can do with it whatever I want. So this thing, plus it goes back to the state. That's where it belongs. As far as I'm concerned, every decision or every major decision should go back to the states, because I do not want one person or a bunch of people in the three branches of the federal government to be responsible for trying to make my life what they think it is, you know? So at
you're
least
not,
if it goes back
you're not
to the
trying
state.
To, you're not trying to be a robot, right?
Well, I'm not trying to follow the dictates of the dictatorship. If you give the power of every decision to the federal government, that means you are a slave. You have to do what they say. Now, if you don't like what a state says, you can leave or you can petition the legislature of that state. You can have healthy debates. When you have a dictatorship, look what's happening to us today. Censorship. You're considered a terrorist or a dissident if you disagree with the vaccine hypothesis or with the federal government. Am I not right?
Yes, you're right.
Okay. So that's why I believe that most decisions should go back to the states. Even if the decisions are wrong, there will be states who get the decisions right. And that's the end of my soliloquy.
Okay, your soliloquy. Wow. So, Karen or Aaron, anybody have anything else to say? I know, Karen, you're just listening, but you've had some good comments as well.
What did you think about the grilling I gave Gibson last week?
It was excellent. It wasn't bad at all. I mean, he answered every question. I mean, you guys had very good, I won't say even banter, but it was very good. He's very nice. Very, you know, he's somebody I
yes,
would look
was.
For because he seems like, you know, very personable for one thing. You know, he wasn't trying to overdo what his, you know, his position that he's going for. You know, he's very, very, very personable and a person who wants to make those changes. Now, I don't know if he's Roe versus Wade, against Wade, or whatever, but he would be those type of persons to help make the change if necessary, in my eyes.
So, so what particular positions or do you think that he had that you liked?
Joe. We're on Roe versus Wade today, not Joe versus Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry about the question, and there's, you know, I figured since it was on your show, maybe, you know.
I know. I mean, I did. I mean, basically, everything that you threw at him, he had an answer for, and it was, what's the word I'm trying to think of? It was a, it wasn't an over-the-top answer. It was something that, hey, if I can't do this, I'll, you know, try to get people who can do what needs to be done. So he, you know, if I came to him with an issue, you know, he was going to try and rectify it or take it to, you know, take it to the court or take it to where he needed to take it to get it either heard, rectified, or work on it, you know, because he has, what, 2 years in office, correct? To do what he needs to do.
Well,
right?
Yeah, if he's elected, but I mean, well, what makes him different than any other candidate that you've heard?
And I haven't heard a lot of candidates. I don't be listening to them people because it's all wah, wah, wah. It just sound like Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. So yeah. I don't like to listen to wah, 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 wah. It was somebody that I listened to because I heard what he was saying, and he was believable, you know what I'm saying? And he was determined to make sure that if he couldn't get an answer, he was going to try and get an answer. At least, you know, he was going to make that effort. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how I feel.
All right. Well, I'm going to also use your that discussion that you and I had about gun control. I'm going to use your answer as a typical answer of somebody who's a liberal. So if you don't mind, I'm going to play that clip that you and I had. Is that okay?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, good. If you don't mind, that's where I'm at. You know, if you don't mind, because we had a discussion about gun control.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, you know, I want to play that clip as saying this is what people who want gun control say, and this is their reasoning. And then when everybody laughs, then it's okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. You said I could play the clip, so I'm going to play the clip, you know, at some time in the future if I have another show.
Oh.
And I have a show about gun control.
I thought you were going to play it now. That's why I said, okay. Oh, that's what I thought you meant. Okay. That's what I thought you were you meant. That you're gonna play it now. I was like, okay.
Sometime in the future if I have another show I'll play the clip and you know, because your answer is typical answer. You know how many people gave me the same almost exact except for the last half of the answer? Gave me the same first half of the answer you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
For everybody,
I can't freaking believe.
People want guns. I mean, I even have guns. Okay, I mean, but it still have some type of control over who has the gun. You know, that's all I'm saying is like, you know, don't give it to somebody who has mental issues and you know they're going to go out there and slaughter everybody. No. you know, so have some type of control who has these rifles, not the AKs, but I mean, a person shouldn't have an AK. That is not for everyday
Why
use.
Why not?
A gun. What are you going to have an AK for?
How would they know who has a mental state or not when they purchase the gun, though?
Exactly. They have to do background checks, but even then, that's not going to
exactly.
come back.
But
then,
they're not doing
but
that.
Then they
they're
have
not
the,
doing that now.
Right, and then they have the red flags of people, you know, if you know John Boy down the street is acting up and acting goofy, it's like, yo, something's going on here, some issues going on. So let's keep an eye on him until, you know, we figure out, okay, do you, you know, even ask around the area, do you know John Boy? Yeah, he ain't wrapped too tight. You know, something ain't right with him. Okay, then you would let, you know, I'm sorry, I'm also talking to my grandson, I'm sorry. So you would let somebody know this is red flag, you know, red flag Joe, because he is not wrapped too tight, but he wants to buy a gun. And if you are connected with your community and you know, this person, you should say, you
but
know,
also, let's not to cut you off though, but
go
let
ahead.
Me just say
no, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times these guns are also given to you from gang members, you know,
as a gift,
it's initiation.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you
mm-hmm.
control that? You understand what I'm
saying? You don't.
Who
right.
do you know
I do.
How do you know
I
who's
do.
Purchasing what?
Right. And where are these guns coming from? I mean, they got to come from somewhere. Some
yeah.
of them are ghost guns, as they say. You know, who's bringing these guns to these gangs? That's what we want to find out first. I mean, are you going to war? Are you actually going to war? Who needs a gun in a community?
When you have riots, you need an
AK-47. Well, yeah, you do. And you also have initiative.
When you
okay.
have looting like you did, like you did 2 years ago, like may happen in this summer. Or if you have police, like they bombed that particular neighborhood in Philadelphia a long time ago, or other,
okay.
You know, or
okay.
gangs in your neighborhood. Yeah, you need an AK-47.
Yeah, your gang.
Okay.
Okay.
And
so
a lot
my
of
hand
times
is
they're
raised.
Buying those guns out of the back of a trunk.
Right.
That's
you know, the homeboy shopping network. Right, the homeboy shopping network. And that's just it. It's like, you know, and they don't have serial numbers on them, so of course you don't know where they're coming from. And a lot of them are being made on computers.
But you're not
going to
stop that. You're not going to stop that. Besides, the discussion you and I had wasn't about
mm-hmm.
how do you stop the flow of guns. I was talking about
mm-hmm.
the ultimate decision about having guns, the Second Amendment not being infringed upon, because you can't stop the flow of guns. As a matter of fact, Obama,
yeah.
through Eric Holder, they encouraged illegal guns to go through, I think, either Mexico to come back up to the United States to get into the hands of
mm-hmm.
criminals. It's being
okay.
done all the time. So remember, the argument you and I had, and I gave the comparison of if there is a community that has a policy of no guns whatsoever, you cannot have a gun. So nobody has a gun. There's a community of 1,000 people. Nobody has a gun. And 100 yards
okay.
away, there's another community where everybody has a gun. And you and I
correct.
And the woman on the line, we've all agreed that the criminals can get
mm-hmm.
guns anytime they want. Now, if I'm
mm-hmm.
a criminal, remember, I said, what
mm-hmm.
community do you want to live in knowing that I and my gang have guns up the yin-yang? And you said you wanted to live and the gun-free zone, where nobody
mm-hmm.
has guns.
Mm-hmm. Cause, but I got a mean, what do you call it, machete? No, there's nothing.
have a gun. You said you also have a gun. And I'm talking about... So if you have a gun, then how can you say other
mm-hmm.
people shouldn't have a gun?
But I know how to... I have it because my ex-husband gave it to me. Do you think it's loaded? Oh,
you still have it. You didn't throw it out.
But you have protection?
I just have it. I mean,
so you have it for protection. You have
it for
a burglar.
Not necessarily.
Right.
It's not necessarily. I have it because it was
not
big.
Necessarily.
He gave it to me. No, sis. He gave it to me because it's a big gun. It's like, oh, okay. You know, but he gave it to me in our divorce. He gave me.
Let me just ask a question.
In the divorce.
So basically what we're saying is that guns should not be placed in young hands. Is that what we're agreeing on?
Correct.
It should be placed in
an adult
who knows what they're doing.
You would.
Say that again, please, Karen.
No, I was asking the question. I was asking, are you saying the guns should not be placed in the hands of children, but people who are grown and know exactly how to use them? Is that what we're saying?
Correct. That's what I would say. Right. You know, that's what I would say.
Okay.
Somebody who is in the right frame of mind, not that everybody's in the right frame of mind, because we go on a little spat and something happens type of thing, you know, boom, 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 boom. But what I'm saying is I'd even raise the age to 25 because even at 21, a lot of people aren't ready to. I'm just saying, hey, I have my opinion. No,
I know you have your opinion, but let me tell you something about that opinion. Yeah.
Okay.
At the age of 15, I was shooting rifles.
Mm-hmm.
There are, in the 50s and 60s, you could go to school to have, with rifle club, you could go to school with your 22 on your back.
Okay.
There weren't mass murders there. Those are young people
mm-mm.
who have guns, who go to the rifle
mm-hmm.
range, they have instructors, they learn how to shoot.
Okay.
If you want to raise the age to 25 so that when the criminal who could be 11, 12, 13 has a gun, wants to come inside your house, knows you don't have a gun, knocks on your door, you don't answer, he busts the door down, he comes in,
mm-hmm.
you don't have a gun. He either rapes you or shoots you, robs you, and leaves because he knows you don't have a gun.
Okay.
You know, you find that a scenario that you're willing to live with and for everybody else to live with.
Or you could have a gun and may not been able to get to the gun.
Correct, because you don't know the 11-year-old's on the other side with a gun.
Exactly.
But you're in a gun-free zone. Remember, the community has forbidden guns, or the federal government has said to everybody, you can't have a gun. They're after your guns. Beto O'Rourke, Biden, they will take your guns. As a matter of fact, every Democrat who ran for president said they would take your guns away. Okay? But on the other side, there's a
mm-hmm.
community who says, F that. I want my gun. They have their gun. Now, I'm a criminal, remember? I need
mm-hmm.
money. And
mm-hmm.
you think it's easier for me to go after the people who have guns as opposed to the community that doesn't.
It doesn't.
That's what you said?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I did say that.
Still,
okay.
Still,
can I retract?
Can
I retract? I mean.
Yeah.
But, don't laugh at me. I'm old.
I'm older than you are.
Okay, by what, 2 days and 10 minutes? Ooh. But
so I'm still older.
But no. Okay, I know, old man. But be nice to me.
That's right.
I'll put you on mute. No, I'll just mess with you. But no, but
you're not too old to
you know,
do that now, are you?
No, I'm not. I have control. I have finger control. Not gun control, but finger control. But no, I mean, but being in a community that has all these guns, bullets, you know, flying and everything like that. You know, you don't know, bullet is nameless. You know, you have babies that get killed. You get
old. You're making an assumption,
Inez.
No.
I mean, even in the ghetto and in wherever you want to be, people who have guns, bullets fly. Next thing you know, we're having a funeral of a child who's 4 years old because I wasn't even in court. I was on the grand jury, and we put these boys in jail because they were driving down the street, flying and shooting, and this 4-year-old got killed because of the bullet that hit her. And so they went to jail. And
because these people had guns illegally. Do you know what the statistics are for the murders and the homicides that are committed and how they're committed?
Tell me.
The homicides committed by rifles are fewer than those committed by knives and by people who punch other people to death. Okay?
Okay.
Look it up, Google, right now. Look up the statistics for death in America. Okay?
You know me.
Okay. I didn't know you were search.
I like Googling. I like, you know what, Joe? I don't like you no more. Go away.
I know
okay,
that.
Okay, so I'm Googling. What is the statistic for what?
Listen, guys. This is wonderful. Uh-huh. This is my first time coming on. It was wonderful. But I am in the middle of also trying to prepare for tomorrow for vacation Bible school. So
okay.
We'll be back on again this
Thank
week.
You, Karen.
Thank
we
you.
Are back on Thursday. And that's the view of the kingdom, and also prophesying with May, prophetess May Carroll. That's on Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and then later on that evening, Sergeant Parks is going to be on with Marjan Beauchamp, who was a 24 draft pick from Milwaukee Bucks. He and his mom are going to be on the line. It's his, I think, grandson or nephew or somebody in his family. So they're going to be on the line. And then we have Sunday service. So every other Wednesday we have Bible study. So, I've got your telephone number, so I can always let you know when we have stuff. So, and if you just
say,
hey, I don't want, just don't do it. Boom, boom, boom. But your last name?
I appreciate that.
Of your last name. Oh, you're welcome. What's the initial of your last name?
It's Jordan hyphen Carter.
Carter. Okay. Because I can send you stuff and you can ignore it or delete whatever you want to do. So
I was gonna say if you can't reach me, also Aaron can reach me because he's the one who asked me to get on tonight.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. I appreciate.
Okay.
Hey, y'all, be reaching out. Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a wonderful vacation Bible school. And thank you again for joining us and listening and commenting. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Mm-hmm. Have a good night. Thank you. Okay, so it's,
I didn't know you were religious, Miss Ramirez. Oh.
Oh. Yeah, I am.
Oh, no wonder. Whatever happened to Stephanie?
No wonder what?
Never mind. Whatever happened to
Stephanie? Stop.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that one later. No, she was busy with school and her children. So what she was doing was taking up a lot of the time, and so she needed to go back to school and
what
she needed to do for schooling and her children. So, Aaron, I see you. You joined us again. So, have you been listening to Gun Control from Mr. Joe?
Yeah. I mean, that gun control, like I told you, that's a very touchy issue. This country's built on individuals having guns. As far as, like I say, since Paul Revere said the British are coming, they've been armed every step.
Yeah.
This is their way of life. I mean, these are the people that was able to overlook what Carl Kaepernick was talking about as far as how the abuse and the tyranny was just taking place in the African-American community by the powers that be pit bulls. Police are the pit bulls of this government. And, they sick them on who they want to sick them on. And he was just saying, hey, we want to kneel instead of pledging to a flag that's not protecting us. And of course they took it and turned it and twisted it to some military stuff, which it had nothing to do with the military.
Of course.
Common sense.
Of course.
People are going to want to believe. People who don't want to give you an inch of air, even though they have the whole world to breathe, are people who are going to be very dangerous to you. And they're going to protect what they feel that they're losing. So when it comes to gun control, for instance, you got the militia. Now, my concerning thing about the gun control, because the militias are the ones that really start bringing in the AKs and all that, doing their practicing for race riots, as they say, they really start bringing in those high machinery as far as those type of weapons. And as far as the police having those type of weapons, where that came when Biden put in the thing for he wrote the law for three strikes and you're out. And, but the point was when Clinton militarized the police, well, the police are the militia. Police are the NRA. You know what I mean? They are the ones that have all those type of guns. Now, as far as those guns, we can gangbanger who can barely say GED, whether they don't spell it. How is he getting these super drone weapons? How are these weapons getting in our community? It's just like crack down in L.A. and Compton. We know it's coming from a higher source. There's allowing these guns to go in our communities to give them to these, half-literate little boys out there, regardless of why they out there, whatever. Mm-hmm. These boys cannot manufacture cocaine just like they can't manufacture these guns. But yet, it's all in our neighborhood. We need to quit playing with the game. Who cares? I mean, we're not the ones. Our kids are dying from guns or getting them from people who can walk in the gun store or gun shop or go to these gun conventions, buy all the guns they want to buy. And then they come, and then they start marketing them and selling them in our communities. And they're probably giving to them dirt free because look at the damage that's being done. It's not a Saturday Night Special where one person gets shot and this and that. This is multiple rounds of military rounds. They're trained for war. You know, they're making our communities a war zone by letting these weapons be in there. And can nobody tell me the government cannot stop these weapons from coming to our community because there's always a gap between the have and the have-not. And anytime the have-not is trying to get something and the haves are getting to them, the powers that be play a control of how these weapons are getting in our community. And I've seen some of these weapons these boys have, and they don't even know how to use them. They don't know how to use them. They're going on YouTube. You know, they don't go to the gun range. They go in the hood and shoot.
Or in the woods or something.
They wait to find the enemy. That's what they learn. They make somebody their enemy that looks like them, and they go and shoot up the whole crowd like they did in Buckhead the other day. And at the altercation takes place, and all of a sudden somebody just lets out all these rounds and shoots all these innocent people. But you know what? It's not for our. It's not for the government to protect us. We have to protect ourselves. The Asians protect themselves. The Mexicans protect themselves. Hell, LGBTQ community protect themselves. We don't protect ourselves. We keep looking up to Master. Master, can you fix this problem? I ain't fixing it. I started the problem. It's like you asking the government, the Master, to fix our problem. It's like going to the fire chief looking for the firebug when he's the firebug. It makes no sense. Until we step up, and I'm not saying how harshly, but we have some very strong black men, very strong black people to come together, and we can have our own situations. If we know that Tyrone is terrorizing our neighborhood, then maybe we need to deal with Tyrone personally. Because if we wait for 911 to wait for Tyrone, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a firm believer. If you hurt mine, I'm going to hurt yours. You know, whenever the way that the Jewish community stopped the Palestinians from doing so much bombing, they said, well, if you bomb somebody in this family, we're coming after your whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they deterred a little bit of the suicide bombing, because y'all want to go to heaven with the law, but I don't want to see my mother and my father and my siblings pay the price for it. So there has to be something within our community to step up to our community and start calling it what it is. We have some sick individuals, and we have people giving sick individual weapons. We have to deal with our individuals almost like Black Panther dealt with the drug dealers in their neighborhoods back in the 60s. You have to take control. You know, Black Panthers want to start the free lunch thing. You know what I'm saying? The breakfast thing.
Who did?
The new nutrition was the key. We have to step up for ourselves, is what I'm saying. The Black Panthers.
Who did?
In Chicago.
Okay.
The Black Panthers.
Okay.
They started giving free lunches and nutrition breakfasts for the kids went to school. You know what I mean? Because they knew the government wasn't going to do it for their schools. And without nutrition, it's hard for the brain to think. All this tyranny is happening in our community. It's ridiculous what's going on right now. But we have to come up with something to step up against it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes fire needs fire.
And what do you suggest us doing?
Fire needs fire. I believe that we should have communities within our communities to deal with the situation. Quit letting these young boys run around doing what they want to do when they're hurting people. Because, when, like I tell my kids, when you hurt your other sibling, you're not of us when you start hurting each other. You are not, and we have to deal with you like that. But just think about it. The white man deals with the white man when he acts outside his control. That's why we got Dateline in 2020. So all you got to do is put it on. They will canvass a murder to find out who killed so-and-so, if it's one of their own, and they will eradicate that murderer out of their community. If a house is selling drugs on one spot, the whole community gets together, go to a community meeting, whatever, and tell the police, yep, it's him right there, and it's him right there, and it's him right there, and they eradicate the poison out of their neighborhoods. We don't do that. That's all.
Not anymore.
That's my thing is we have to start dealing with each other, you know, in the way that things fit.
So next Tuesday, do y'all want to talk about gun control? Joe?
Who, me? Oh, I don't know. That means I have to do some real research. And most of the time, other people don't do their real research.
I'd rather
just come on in and whatever topic you've got, I'll just come on in. You know, if I'm here, I'll come on in and see what kind of topic you've got.
Okay. Okay, all right, that's not a problem. Because, I mean, sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to talk about until maybe that Sunday or Monday or whatever. And a lot of times things just come to me like this Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happened on Friday. So it's like, okay, let's talk about it. You know, and that's why I say, come on, let's talk about it. And it says, let's talk about it. So, I mean,
you know what
somebody
I like to
come.
Do?
What's that?
I went around about a year or so ago. Various shows, liberals and conservatives, and I asked them if they wanted to debate each other, and they said yeah. Then I started thinking about it. I want to be the moderator of a particular type of debate. It's an interrogatory debate. It's not like what you normally see. Somebody gets up for 5 minutes, they do their thing, they talk, then the other side gets up for 5 minutes. Then the moderator makes a comment, and then they go back and forth with their particular comments. No. Remember how I drilled Joe, right? That's the way I want
and
to
that was,
as a moderator.
That was very
for
nice.
Any topic.
It was.
Yeah.
Why don't you have your own
That's the way
show?
I want it to be.
Why don't you have
I'm not going to pay $40. I have a show. It's a half-hour free show, which was given to me by a friend of mine years ago. But I'm not paying $40-$50 to get on Black Talk Radio.
No.
I have. There's other shows.
What,
yeah.
What is your show called?
Oh, but I haven't played it in about a year. It's a half-hour show now.
Okay.
It used to be an hour.
Okay.
Plus, you know, another
no,
thing is
I mean,
you have a free show.
Mm-hmm.
They don't let you play it in prime time. You got to play it after 9 p.m. or before 12 noon. I think we're after 10 p.m.
Okay.
Something like that. Or maybe it's or is it before 7 p.m. I think maybe they consider it after 7 p.m. prime time. I forget exactly what it is.
I think,
but you don't
have
a chance to really draw an
six.
Audience. Is it after 6? Oh, okay.
I think so. And we just had another caller join us, but the last three is 3333. You wanna, you can either remain anonymous or you can tell us who you are and where you're calling from. And our topic this evening is choices, Roe versus Wade. And I don't know if you've been listening or not. I know it's a Washington State number.
It's your brother.
It's my brother?
Yes.
My brother Duane, how are you?
Yes, fine, and you?
Okay, I may have to put him on hold, on mute. I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm good. That's what I just listened to it. I'm at a lady's house doing some work.
Oh, okay. This is my brother in Washington State, and so do you have any comment on Roe versus Wade?
No, not at this time. Yeah, I'm just
listening. All right. Okay,
cool.
We're going to have to see you. Okay. Say again? Well, thank you for joining us. I said thank you for joining us. I'm just going to put you on mute so we don't have all the background noise.
Right on. Talk to you later.
All right. stay there. That's my brother. But what was I going to say? But no, we should have a, you know, we should have a show as far as, you know, y'all could text me or what have you, email me at Let's Do a Radio at gmail.com. If you have a topic of interest, that's fine too. Because a lot of times I don't know what I'm going to be talking about. And so I try to get my little homework in before I do a show so that I at least sound, you know, have some type of intelligence or what have you, but a little bit.
You know what I suggest, though?
So,
if you're, you know, if you have a topic, right? You be the moderator, mm-hmm. of course, since it's your show, but you make mm-hmm. you have to make sure that the people stay on mm-hmm. point, because if you don't, this is why I like to be the moderator.
TV8.
They will meander mm-hmm. all over the place, and they'll tap dance around the question mm-hmm. like they're running for office. So
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
why, you know, if you're going to have a debate, you got to make sure that these people come prepared, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then as the moderator, you make sure that when one asks the other the question, that they answer the question
uh-huh.
promptly and succinctly. Otherwise, they'll take a freaking half an hour to answer the question and not even answer it.
No, they won't. Not when I'm involved. It's like, listen, y'all taking too long. You got 2 minutes to answer the question and
good.
Quit dilly-dallying and jumping around. Cause,
yeah.
You know, because
right.
we don't have time, you know. We don't have time. Just like they would do at a debate, you have 2 minutes or whatever to debate, you know, or you can concede to somebody else or what have you. But no. And that's why I just like to, you know, just like to let people talk a lot of times, because this may be their only avenue to get things off of their chest, as I always say in my little spiel here, because a lot of times people don't listen to each other. They talk over them, talk at them, but they don't take the time to listen and then converse, comment, and what have you. And so that's what I like to do on this show. And I really appreciated when Montana Joe versus North Carolina Joe. That was excellent. I mean, it was excellent because you had your questions for
Thank you.
Joe. He answered them, and it was perfect. I mean, it was perfect, and he just was just a gentleman to me. I just felt that he was just I would work for him at his campaign office or whatever, because he seems like
a
genuine person to me.
You know, Ines, I'm beginning to believe you when you say, you know, Joe, I don't like you anymore, because you've been complimenting you've been complimenting Gibson all night, but you haven't complimented me, you know, as an interrogator, asking the kind of questions that a person who really should vet a political candidate should ask and get the kind of commitment from a candidate that should be committed. But go ahead.
You just
keep praising Gibson and you keep forgetting about me. I've only been going to your show for I don't know how long, you know, a few weeks or so. But that's okay. Never mind.
My show, but how long have you been with Blog Talk Radio? At least 2 years now? At least?
Oh,
you
God,
just
long as that.
I mean, but no, with Sharon, when my girlfriend was alive, I'm talking about, you know, I don't know how long you've been, you know, at least listening in on the relationship ones or whatever else. But no, you just don't understand. I look forward to you calling. I look forward to you coming on the show because you always have something wonderful to say. You always have something to prick a person's mind. You always, I won't say banter, but I like you. I just say I don't like you. That's just me saying I like you. So
yeah, now all of a sudden you're stroking my ego simply because I said that you didn't. Okay, sure.
I have, you know, and you can even, I'll even play back because even Aaron, didn't I say I appreciated how he interrogated Joe? Did I not say that, Aaron?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Thank you.
Yes,
you did. Yeah. You want me to play that clip, Joe?
Yeah, because I don't believe
it.
No,
I do.
No, I'm only.
Yeah, okay.
I'm
only back. You can go back. I know. I do. I really do. I really do appreciate you. Because at first it was like, oh my gosh, this guy calls 10 minutes prior to us.
Yeah, don't believe her.
And now he already knows. And I even have a, I have a witness on the line. It's like, okay. How, and, he, and they said, okay, how was Joe? I said, oh, he was good. He was actually excellent. He interrogated the gentleman. It was a good show. It was an excellent show. I really appreciated you. And, you know, I just do. I just do. I like when you come. I look forward to you coming on.
Thank you. I'm only teasing you. I know. Because you and I get along, and I get along with most of the people that come to your show. Yeah, so I know. I'm only teasing you. I just wanted to make sure that, you know that I know that you thought Gibson was terrific, and me, not so terrific, but you appreciate me anyway. I know. But
the thing
I
is,
understand.
No. But the thing is, I'm gonna say it at Real Country Hearst. No, but we couldn't have had a good show if you weren't prepared, like you said. And Joe, North Carolina Joe, didn't know what you were gonna ask. So he was ready and Johnny on the spot. And I just appreciate you being prepared because you've always wanted to do this. And you've always wanted to do this and probably with other candidates as well.
That's true.
And I appreciate
that
you.
That is true.
So, I don't know if you would ask the same question.
I did, prior to Gibson, I did have the opportunity to do it with the two other candidates. But most hostesses and most hosts won't allow this. I have to say to you, you did a service for your listeners because this is going to be one of the few times that they will ever hear a candidate as blunt as Gibson or a person who actually asks an interrogator like me asking the kind of questions that people, that voters should actually ask. You know that most voters, they go, and you know what? He looks good. He's got a nice set of hair. She looks good. She's articulate. He's handsome. He acts like he's on our side, and they go vote for the people, and then they find out they were all liars.
They're no good. Right. Because
yeah.
I was trying to find a picture of Joe, and I don't have a picture of you, but I was trying to find a picture of Joe so people know who you were going to be interrogating. And I couldn't find a nice one, so I just didn't even go there. But, no, I mean, you came and you were prepared, because I didn't know what to expect, but I knew to expect, I'll say, greatness because of the type of person you are.
Oh, now you're really stroking my ego.
I'm just telling you like a TS is.
Greatness is good. I like greatness.
Because, I mean, I couldn't have had that show that I had without you. You know what? I'm putting you on mute. That's all I'm going to do. But anyway.
I know you say you're waiting to do that. You were just waiting for
no,
it
I'm
to
not.
Do that.
No. No, but Aaron, because Aaron was on the show that night as well, correct, Aaron? And what did you say?
Well, yes.
Joe versus Joe.
Okay, what about it?
What did you think of the two Joes?
No, I just thought it was good. It was good. They had a good flow going back and forth. Both men sounded that they were very had a lot of convictions in their answers, and it was actually eye opening to agree to disagree. It was I enjoyed it. I think that's the best type of foundations we need because one thing about now I'm just going to speak for what I know. One thing about us is we don't seem to be able to agree with respect. I mean, disagree with respect, and I had a show with Pittsburgh, and when we started out was, we have to agree to disagree. And I think we don't, whenever, like what they were doing was just, I enjoyed it,
It was. And then other people got to ask him questions as well. And so that was, and they didn't have to be in this state, but they got to ask him questions. As far as, okay, maybe I can ask my congressperson this or I can ask my person in the district this.
That's right.
And I appreciated that. And, I would love to have more people on the line. There was one, Charles, what's his name? Oh, doggone it. He was on the breakfast show this morning. He was talking about, Roe versus Wade and everything like that. And I was going to reach out to him and see if he would like to be on the show. The respect that you had for the other Joe, and the other Joe had the respect for you as well. But you guys, like Aaron was saying, you guys had a flow. It was It was.
That's because, you know why? That's because I set it up like that. I made the conditions that whoever I was going to interrogate was going to have the attitude. They were in a witness chair. They could not talk back. They had to answer the question, or I was going to interrupt them. Now, if it was on a show that I had, that there are shows that I do co-host and shows that I do host. If I had a mute button, I would let them know, if you meander, if you try to tap dance around an answer, you're muted. So
right. I was just going to cut you off. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Because you can't have this, because the normal debate is, like I said, somebody stands up for 5 minutes. The other person stands up for, that's 10 minutes of listening to two blowhards. And they start talking about their particular philosophies and ideologies. And then they say, well, your philosophy doesn't work. This philosophy works. But you have to get down to the nitty-gritty. Okay? A moderator, a good moderator, you got to say, how do you know it works? What evidence do you have? But that wasn't the debate that I was having with Gibson, the debate I was having.
Right.
Because I didn't know how much time that you were going to give me. I just wanted to make sure that any candidate that I grill, they're going to have to put skin in the game, and they're going to have instant deadlines so that in case they do get elected, they have an obligation that week, to do something. And if they don't do it, then the people also have the power to get them out of there before their term is up. That's what I
did.
That was nobody else could do.
Okay. And they can do that? I don't know. I'm not very much on the judicial system, so they can get somebody out if they're not doing their job?
If they agree to it. Let's say you're running for office, right?
Okay.
I say to you and this, you're going to be the senator of Arizona. And I say, if you don't do what you agree to do in the first week, do you also agree that if a petition is set up and the people who call in or write into that petition say that you don't fill out your term, okay? You don't, you get out of there in a month, would you do it? And you say yes, okay? That commits you.
They have that right to get you out.
Yes, they get you out. Now, if you say, you know what, I'm sorry, but we have laws, and I'm going to have to fill out my term. Then you know then you know that the person is a liar.
Is this
that's
what
to
I
be pretty? That's what I wanted to make people realize. If you know how to bait a candidate, how to find out if they're a liar right away.
Okay. I'll go for that. And then see a lot of these things I'm learning. I mean, even Priyanki. I love the man. I don't know where he's from, but 314. I don't know where he's from.
Is he still
but
on?
But I like when he comes
is he
on.
Still on?
No. He's gone.
Oh, okay.
He's gone. No, but I mean, I liked because he is very knowledgeable, and it's like, man, I don't know if I can even remember my name from last week. I mean, I can, but I mean, just all the information that he has and he lays on us, and he doesn't force it on us, but he brings it in at the right time. I like that because I'm not the most knowledgeable, and that's why I appreciate people from different ventures and different avenues and different backgrounds and so on and so forth come on the show because they bring history, they bring information, they're very informative, and if I don't think that you're informative, it's like, bye, boo, you know, so... And that because I'm not going to play, you know. But I just appreciate people taking the time to even call in because I'm not one of those well-known people, but at least I'm having more and
nobody
more people call in.
Nobody on Blog Talk is.
No, but I mean, some people have a lot.
Of the people on Blog Talk are not well-known. Nobody's well-known on Blog Talk.
Okay. I mean, no, but I mean, they're getting there, and, you know, as lot more people are, you know, they'd be following them because they have content. And I just want to make sure that my shows have content and they keep the...
Oh, your shows have content.
Thank you. You know, that they keep the...
Well, you like me now.
You know, the people...
Oh, okay.
I liked you yesterday, but that was yesterday. But I like...
Oh, that was yesterday. Oh, yeah, okay.
But
I understand.
But I mean,
I understand.
And then, you know, I don't know how Priyanki got, you know, involved in this. I don't know if you said, hey, I'm going to be on the show, call him. I didn't know if you knew him or what have you. But just like...
Oh, I know him for years. He and I go to a show on Saturdays. For years, he and I have been on the same show on Saturdays. So I've known him for years. When are you going to have a relationship show? That's my other favorite topic. That's important because people...
need to have, I mean, I was trying to have one on, you know, what he says, she says. You know, I've tried to have that, and, you know, not very many people called in or whatever. But I still like to have that show. What do you hear when he says this? What do you hear when she says such and such? Is that a relationship? Yes, it is to me.
Yeah.
You know, that. So I'll probably still continue that. But because what is it that you hear when she says, I don't feel good? You know, it's like, oh, she's not really feeling good, or is she trying to get out of the date, or she doesn't like me anymore? And so, you know, that's, I can do that show next week. That's not a problem, you know, that type of thing.
That's, that's important.
Okay. I'll bring that
that's
back
very
up
important.
Next week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know what, it's super
really
important
do.
Because, okay.
Go ahead.
It's because people have to understand and get inside other people's heads. People always say communication is the key, and communication is very important. But people don't often communicate how they really feel. So sometimes you have to try to draw from them how they really feel in order to make the relationship either work or to realize that it's not going to work.
Right. And quit sugarcoating it and just try to make the other person feel good. It's like, man, I don't like this girl. How am I going to tell her I don't like her? I don't want to hurt her feelings. She may come back and do such and such and such and such. But, you know, if you're open and honest to begin with, you shouldn't have to worry about that. You should
I
not
agree.
Have to worry
if
about
you're
that.
Open
what do you
and
think,
honest
Aaron?
About it?
Go ahead.
I'm
sorry.
Waiting for Aaron.
What were you saying? You know, I'm talking about what?
Oh, we're talking about relationships, and I was trying to have the show. He says, she says. You know, what do you hear?
That's a tough one.
I'll have it next Tuesday, and that's July 5th. What do you hear when she says this? What do you hear when he says such and such? So that may be like a 2-week conversation or whatever. So that will be next week.
I'd have to study for that.
Don't have to study. Just come on and be real.
As a man, talking, I'm going to study because, you know, we got to be very careful what we say and how we say it. So, yeah, I'll study that one and make sure that the way, because I have a lot to say on that that's not going to be agreed upon with a lot of people.
Okay.
But that's what Miss Inez says.
Let's talk about it. And if we don't know what's on people's mind, how are we going to know how to act or react or interact? We won't know. We'll just be on the sideline looking in, and the fishbowl is like, you know, with your face and nose pressed up against the thing, and it's like, man, I wouldn't have said that. It's like, oh, I would have answered that different. Oh, my God. He didn't really say that to her, did he? You know? So that's the kind of conversation I like to bring up the interaction. You know, because, I mean, That's necessary because we're afraid that we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. But we can't hurt somebody's feelings what's the difference in hurting somebody's feelings or lying to them? You're still going to hurt their feelings. Correct me if I'm wrong.
If you tell people certain truth, there are a lot of people who can't handle the truth. That's why I've said communication is important, but people believe that communication is the key to a relationship, and I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Because people communicate all the time, but sometimes they do it poorly, and sometimes the other person doesn't pick up on it.
Right. It's how they communicate. You know, do they speak at an upper level or do you speak, or do they speak at a level where the person who they're speaking to can understand? You know, that bro just went over my head. I don't have an idea of what they just said. Can you break it down for me? Because a lot of times people talk in these long words and these long sentences. And you don't impress me with all them words. Because Reverend Ron, he would crack me up. It's like, I even did that in the North Show. Joe, what are you doing? Because that's you in the background making that noise.
Who, me? That's not me. I'll put myself on mute. That could be my app. Because I'm known for an app that is not
noisy.
Exactly. Yeah, it's noisy.
But,
all right. Okay, I'm putting myself on mute.
Okay. Because Reverend Ron, he used to talk, and it's like, oh, my gosh. He used to use words that were huger than I was. Yes, I said huger. And I said, bruh. And that's exactly what I said. It was during a Bible study. I think it was a Bible study night. I said, bruh, what the heck did you just say? I had folks cracking up because I didn't know what the heck that man was talking about. And I had to learn his language and his lingo. And it was funny. We've been, you know, wonderful ever since. We have been wonderful ever since. And so I just appreciate him. I appreciate each and every one of you, actually, for coming on the show and just, you know, spending the evening with me, as I would say.
Yeah. And I appreciate you too for having me, you know, to express myself and to have you have certain topics which I'm very interested in. But in the, getting back to the communication aspect, there's another thing about communication too. People do not want to actually communicate clearly, because there are a lot of times if you communicate clearly how you really feel, you might have to say, oh, maybe we shouldn't see each other anymore. And a lot of times, even the people who are really aggravated within a relationship, they don't want to leave the relationship and go back out there and start hunting around again. So they don't want to hear, oh, this is what you really mean? You mean you don't want to be with me anymore? They don't want to. They don't want to hear that. But you have to know how to hear it, why it should be said, and what you should do in order to make the other person not say it. What are your deficiencies? What are your faults? Can you correct them?
And that's
how you create
a great relationship. I mean, if we come together not knowing each other, and then, you know, because I had to kind of feel you out. It's like, oh, gosh, this guy, why is he bothering us? Why is he coming on the show 10 minutes prior to, you know? And now I've grown to love you. It's like, okay, is Joe calling in? Is he going to call in? I look forward to my men's calling in. I do. I look forward to all my men's calling in because I appreciate each and every one of you. But, and so, you know, after a while I got to know you and understand you. And I liked you. Because you bring, you know, you bring flavor. You know, you bring, you know,
bring
you make people think about
I bring
about
a different perspective. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Get down.
And
I
appreciate
I get down
that.
To the nitty-gritty, and I'm blunt about it at times. I hope I'm not especially forceful, but I like to be straightforward, and I like to be blunt. Because I like to get down to brass tacks.
You're fine.
Okay, cool, good.
And
but,
that's why
you're
going to beat around the bush. Because you're going to take all the flowers off the bush and you just keep beating around and watch it. Enjoy the beauty of the bush. Enjoy the beauty of the bush and, you know, talk in front of the bush instead of around beating around the bush. You know, that's just how
Precisely.
I am.
Precisely. That's the way
I
am. And that's the way I like to conduct also my relationships. You know, I'd rather have a very short relationship than a long-term relationship in which there's a lot of aggravation and tension. Let me get the hell out of the relationship early. Right.
And it's not going anywhere.
That's the way
I am. Right. Good. Okay, I will bring that next week. It's called He Says, She Says. That's what it's called.
Are you on social media? Because you could advertise that show so that other people who know who you are, let's say on Facebook or on Twitter or Instagram, they might want to come up to this show.
Joe,
if you're on those
media. You don't understand how many groups I put this out on Facebook. I put it out on Instagram. I send it out on LinkedIn. Oh, trust me. And people don't realize the time that I take to do these shows. And it's like, okay, do I continue doing them? Because, you know, or do I just stop because is it worth it? But I like the interaction between the people and the friendships and the camaraderie that we've gathered and, you know, we've created amongst each other. Because we all know kind of, you know, how you react and act. We know how Aaron acts. Aaron's very, verbal. You're very verbal, but you respect each other. You know, you respect each other. So, and I appreciate
that.
Can
I make a suggestion?
Go ahead.
You might,
he said,
you might, let's say, want to take a clip from one of your favorite shows and put it on Instagram and Facebook so that when people do go to your page, they'll mm-hmm. hear a sampling of what's going on your show. And, you know, like maybe the Joe versus Joe, or in your past mm-hmm. shows on relationships, if you find there was a certain interaction that you thought was very informative, maybe you can take a clip, put it on Instagram and the other social medias, so that people actually have a taste, and then maybe that might increase their interest.
I like that.
Maybe
I'll have to learn how to do that. I don't know. I'll have to learn because there's a lot of things I need to learn, like even Facebook Live. You know, I may be talking on the radio, but yet people can see my mug, my ugly mug as I talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can do YouTube
simultaneously
too, you know. And that'll be
See, I don't know how to do all that stuff. I'm not that, how do you call it? I'm not that media savvy yet.
Computer savvy.
Because I'm
computer savvy. Yeah.
No, I'm computer savvy, but I'm not media savvy. Yeah, humble. I probably can get my grandson to help me. That can do all this. I'm serious because I'd like to do that. You know, I that means I'm going to have to put makeup on, put my face on, my other face on. You know, I don't mean to be two-faced, but I got to put my other face on. And
all
see,
I met Aaron.
I know. I met Aaron. We even went and had lunch, brunch, breakfast at Thumbs Up in Atlanta. So I actually got to meet him.
Right.
It was nice. It was really
nice. Oh, is that right? How about that?
To meet people. Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. We sure did. We got to meet each other. So I like to meet the people who I speak with. So I can say, oh, okay, I didn't picture you that way. Or, oh, okay, you're taller than I thought you were. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. You know, you look intellectual, you know, type of thing. But, oh, you look good in glasses or whatever. But I do. If I'm in somebody's, you know, town or something, I like to meet them. I would like to meet them. I even got to meet Sergeant Parks' daughter, Laquita. As a matter of fact, I think that same weekend I met Aaron. So I when I'm in Atlanta, I get to meet people and meet and greet, I guess you can say. So
good.
And when I'm in Montana, I'll have to try and meet Mr. Joe unless he comes this direction.
Nobody on Blog Talk Radio has my... No. I have divorced myself from anybody and everybody on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, except for me. But that's different. That's okay.
No, you too.
But
no, serious.
Fine.
You know what some people do? You know what some people do on Blog Talk Radio? I know of three instances.
What's that?
In which people have doxed other callers simply because they disagreed with them, didn't like them.
Wait a minute. They did what to them? Blocked?
They doxed them. In other words, doxed them. They revealed to the world their phone numbers or their addresses or both. And one guy even went so far as to reveal that a guy was behind in his child support payments.
Wow.
Now, who needs that aggravation? Just because they didn't like the other person.
I'll have to confess. There was a tat for tat for my brother and I, my little brother, not the one that was on the line, my little brother, not my oldest brother. And he comes on and saying that my brother and sister are trying to kick me out of my house. It's like, and he did this on Facebook. When I came back and gave the facts of what really was going on, he don't even have that Facebook page anymore. because somebody from who used to live across the street says, I can't believe you dirty, you entered dirty laundry. I said, I want to say he started it. He's the one who's saying that we're trying to kick him out of his house. No, we're not, baby. We're trying to give you the opportunity to purchase the house, not kick you out. You have been in this house for 20 years, but yet you say we're trying to kick you out. After my father passed, in the will it says, hey, you got to do this if you want to do this. He's not trying to go by the guidelines, so therefore we had to go a different route. He's not liking the route we're going, and he never has liked the route we're going on any of the decisions because he didn't feel like he was done right. But that's neither hither nor thither. So that's all I got to say about that. But no, I would not reveal, oh yeah, you know, so and so, you know, unless you want to say, hey, Aaron says, hey, I'm Aaron from such and such, you know. But I mean, we have a relationship, you know, deeper than you know, just Blog Talk Radio, because we have some other things on the outside that he wants me to do for him as well. So therefore, we have garnered a relationship in that aspect. But no, I wouldn't say, oh yeah, Aaron XXX lives at 123 Place Street in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, you need to go by there and do a drive-by and take your guns with control or not. And just,
no, you
know,
wouldn't.
Shoot them up, bang,
are,
bang. You know. Are crazy.
But there are people
right,
who
exactly,
do that.
Exactly. That is correct. That is so correct.
You know,
that is so
there
correct.
Was one woman, this
yeah.
is years ago, there was one woman, a guy disagreed with her, found her attractive,
mm-hmm.
found that by
mm-hmm.
talking with her on the show that she really wasn't
mm-hmm.
interested in him. Do you know,
mm-hmm.
he called up her place of work and told lies about
mm-hmm.
her.
I believe
so,
it.
I mean,
I believe it.
This
I believe
so,
it.
You never really know. So as far
it's
as I'm
childish.
Concerned, you know,
mm-hmm.
oh, it's more than childish. You can actually be damaging. She could
mm-hmm.
have lost her job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that is true. That is true. That is so true.
So it's more than that. So you don't know who the people are. If I break
mm-hmm.
bread with somebody, then maybe
mm-hmm.
better for voices on the on a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, and people keep telling me that all the time. Joe, you're mysterious. Nobody knows anything about you. And I said, that's the way it's going to stay.
And that's your business. That is your business.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know Joe? I said, no. I don't know. I mean, Joe Gibson came on, and he came into the chat room. And then he called in to the show. And that's how we got to do what we got to do. And it's like, how do people find these, and I'm just amazed at how people find out what I'm talking about, because I wouldn't know how to search Blog Talk Radio anything. I would not know. Don't ask me. I'm too busy trying to do too much.
Oh, I can teach you that. I can teach you that. That's easy.
And I may want to learn to hear other people,
mm-hmm.
but I also need to probably be in the clubhouse, because I have a clubhouse, whatever, something. And I should probably do this through Clubhouse as well, but it's like,
I heard Clubhouse
is
good. I've never been there.
Yeah. You got all kind of people talking about all kind of things, all types of times of day, and so on and so forth. So that's a good one to listen to as well. It's Clubhouse, but it's about time to wrap up. We got about 7 minutes, and so I want to do my announcements and everything. And so next Tuesday we'll probably do He Says, She Says. You know. What do you hear when he says this and she says this? But anyway, but yeah, but announcements for this week, as I was saying earlier to Karen, on Thursday, A View of the Kingdom and Prophesying by Prophetess May Carroll at A Pine Bluff, Arkansas at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And then later on that Thursday, we have Keeping It Real with Sergeant Parks out of Yakima, Washington, and that's 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And it's Endurance and Perseverance with Marjan Beauchamp. He's the number 24 draft pick for Milwaukee Bucks. And so he and his mom are going to be on. And Sergeant Parks is all excited about that. And Sunday, of course, is July 3rd. We have First Sunday and Communion with Reverend Carolyn McCullough out of Arlington, Texas. And that's 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And then here I am, Miss Inez says, July 5th, Tuesday. Let's talk about it, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then I'm just going to keep on repeating this, which is November 12th and 13th. is a Women's Fire Conference, Raw Power Ministry at 2900 West 6th Street, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. They're going to be having this conference on those 2 days at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, both days. And also, please support Reverend Ronnie Marshall with his Don't Turn Away From God album on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and all other music media. And let's buy his album. And he has a video to go along with it. So if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, let's talk about it. You can email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And don't forget to share on your social media platforms, wherever you are, whatever you do. If you like what you do, you can also Cash App, Venmo, what have you. Cash App is $ANAISCVALCOUR. And Venmo is at Ms. Inez. Or you can even Zelle me if you know my telephone number. Yes, you can do that. And if you want to hear an episode from before, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com and / Let's Do a Radio and choose any episode. You can even hear Joe versus Joe that we had last week. It was good, you guys. You got to hear these two Joes going at it. It was a good show. Sorry, Joe. It was. And I want to thank each and every one of you. You're welcome. It was good. It really was. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining in. And, you know, if you got something on your chest, don't keep it to yourself. Join us again on next Tuesday with Miss Inez Says. Come on, let's talk about it. We could be discussing your topic. And this has been your hostess, Miss Inez, broadcasting to you worldwide. And I'm CEO and fashion designer of Anaïs-Baku Designs. And you can check me out on Facebook and Instagram under Anaïs-Baku, AnaïsBalcour, or www.anaisbalcour.com. And what I'm going to do is today we were doing the Roe versus Roe choices, Roe versus Wade. And what I had read earlier, some of you are going to hear again, was Michael Taylor, a man who had put this out a couple of days ago under one of the clips that I had played earlier. I am pro Becky, who found out at her 20-week anatomy scan that the infant she was so excited to bring into the world had developed without life-sustaining organs. I am pro Susan, who was sexually assaulted on her way home from work, only to come to the horrific realization that her assailant planted his seed in her when she got a positive pregnancy test result a month later. I am pro-Teresa, who hemorrhaged due to a placental abruption, causing her parents, spouse, and children to make the impossible decision whether to save her or her unborn child. I am pro little Kathy, who had her innocence ripped away from her by someone she should have been able to trust, and her 11-year-old body isn't mature enough to bear the consequences of that betrayal. I am pro Melissa, who's working two jobs just to make ends meet, who has to choose between bringing another child into poverty or feeding the children she already has because her spouse walked out on her. I am pro-Brittany, who realizes that she is in no way financially, emotionally, or physically able to raise a child. I am pro-Emily, who went through IVF, ending up with 6 viable implanted eggs requiring selective reproduction in order to ensure the safety of her and the safe amount of fetuses. I am pro-Christina, who doesn't want to be a mother, but birth control methods sometimes fail. I am pro-Jessica, who is finally getting the strength to get away from her physically abusive spouse, only to find out that she is carrying the monster's child. I am pro-Vanessa, who went out into her confirmation appointment after years of trying to conceive, only to hear silence where there should be a heartbeat. I am pro Lindsay, who lost her virginity in her sophomore year with a broken condom and now has to choose whether to be a teenage mom or just a teenager. I am pro-Courtney, who just found out she's already 13 weeks along, but the egg never made it out of the fallopian tube. So she either terminates the pregnancy or risks dying from internal bleeding. Everything in the world you can be kind. The lives, women's lives, you don't choose to pick and choose which scenarios should be accepted. Women's rights are meant to protect all women, regardless of their situation. Think about it and take that with you in telling it again. Have a good evening. Peace out.